Galatians 6, the last week in Galatians. If you're new here, my name is Jeremy, and we, generally speaking, just walk verse by verse through books of the Bible, okay? Right now, we're in Galatians, the last week of Galatians. Next week, we'll take a week off for Easter, kind of do an Easter thing, and then we're going 2 Peter, and then Zechariah and Zephaniah, okay? Old Testament books, in case you've spent a lot of time in those. If you have, I'll let you preach one maybe, but it'll be a good time in the summer doing a few minor prophets here, but we're finishing Galatians, and these 12 weeks in Galatians really has been about one massive thing, and that is being careful that we don't exchange the gospel for something else. It's what is the Galatian controversy that Paul is writing to them is there are people that had come into their midst and told them that they had to become Jews before they could become Christians, namely that they needed to be circumcised. And Paul, over and over and over again, he's hammering in this book, this letter to them, don't do that. Don't trade the good news that you have been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone for something else, okay? That's this whole letter is about, and here in these last seven verses, he does it again. This is not a very long sermon. These are not very long passages, okay? So you're getting a short sermon today. If you like to fill in blanks, I only have three of them for you, which is one way you know that it's not very long. But I'll tell you what my grandmother told me when literally the first thing when I told my grandmother, I felt like God was calling me to be a pastor. She said, well, son, remember, there's no such thing as a bad short sermon. And that was her advice to me, okay? So, amen. Yeah, get you going there. So anyway, you're welcome. Happy Palm Sunday, okay? But here in Galatians, the end of this book, okay, this is Paul. He's sort of wrapping up. This is a summation of everything he's been saying, and we get that here. He starts out, though, and says, do y'all have any friends that, like, they text in all caps all the time, or maybe somebody you know on Facebook that posts in all caps, okay? He's like, why are you yelling at me? It's kind of what Paul starts out here. He says, see with the large letters that I'm writing you with my own hand. Okay, he's like, I want you to know this is important, is what he's saying. Okay, know that this is really important. Don't miss this. Okay, as he ends this letter. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Really important. And as for those who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God, that is the people of God. Okay. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. He's talking about his own persecution there. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, your spirit, brothers. Amen. That's the end of the letter, okay? He writes this letter, sends it on, and this is the end of it. Three things that I would want you to get here as he lands the plane here of this book. The first one is this, okay? And this is over and over again in this letter, so it's over and over again in the sermons, is that we need to be aware of fake religion that only looks good on the outside. Okay, this is Easter picture religion. You know what I mean? The kind of Christianity that looks good on the outside, but has no substance when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is, okay, and I can talk about this because I'm from here, okay? Cultural Southern Christianity at its finest. A kind of Christianity that speaks of being good, doing good, but speaks little to nothing about Jesus himself. Okay, that is a kind of religion that is, it looks good, okay, and it looks good on the outside, but it's false because it doesn't have Christ in it. Okay, we need to be careful of that. We need to guard against that. We all need to guard against it. And we need to help each other guard against it. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 23, okay? Matthew 23, 24, 25, this is a section of the Bible called the Olivet Discourse, which is basically a sermon that Jesus preaches on the Mount of Olives, okay? And if you want to know why the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus, go read it, okay? Because he gives them seven woes here in Matthew 23. Seven things, he calls out these Pharisees, okay? And tells them, this is what you're like. Here's two of the woes, okay? He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You're a bunch of hypocrites making friends, right? And I actually think about this every time I wash dishes. I don't know why, but I do. For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but the inside is full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may also be clean. See, it's good advice for washing dishes, okay? More than that, but it is good advice for that. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and uncleanness. So you also, here's what we got to guard against, church. Outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And we got to guard against a kind of fake religion that looks good on the outside. I mean, looks the part, Instagrams the part, says the right things the right way, but is void of Jesus himself. I mean, you know, that is not Christianity, okay? That's not the gospel. It is not, the gospel of Jesus Christ does not create whitewashed tombs. It creates a new creation, right? We want to be careful that we're not cleaning ourselves up and washing the outside of the cup, but still on the inside being broken and dead. Instead, we want to put our hope and our faith in Jesus so that he would change us from the inside out. Be careful of that. Romans 2, Paul talks about this in Romans as well. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know his will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed by the law, and if you are sure yourself are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you who teach others, this is where it gets harsh, do you not teach yourself? You who say do not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who hate idols, abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking it. And he says, for it is written, and this is true, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations because of you. He says, he's saying, you religious people who say you have the law, who say you hope in God, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations because of you. Because you say something, but you live something else. That sound familiar? We got to guard against that. He says, for circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised who keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew, this is it, okay? No one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter of the law. His praise is not from man, but from God. And you can, don't worry about the circumcision, uncircumcision part, okay? He's saying here is, look, you say that you know and love God, right? But your heart hasn't been changed. Your outward appearance might look the part, but has your heart been changed by the good news of the gospel? You got to guard against being a kind of people that believe in and are following a fake religion that only looks good from the outside. And here's, I'll land the plane on that one here. That can take on all kind of forms, okay? It can take on all kind of forms. We're not going to list all of them here, but the question is simply, have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead? That is the point, okay? And if you've done that, God will create a new person in you, okay? The second one here. Our boast, he says, verse 14, should only be in the cross of Jesus. We only boast in Jesus. Go ahead and read verse 14. He says, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We just sang it. And let my song forever be, my only boast is you. Right? We boast in, we hope in, we rest in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now hear this, okay? I think this is on your notes. A crossless Christianity is a Christless Christianity. Okay? Like, if you try to dilute Christianity to a set of morals and it becomes devoid of the cross of Jesus Christ, it is no longer Christianity that you believe. Okay? Like do not allow someone or something to try to divorce the morality of Jesus and the cross of Jesus Christ, because they are they are connected. You cannot separate those things. I was watching. I'm gonna be a jerk for a second, okay? Which this is me regularly, so I don't think it's not. I guess it's my algorithm, okay? I guess it's my algorithm. But I'm seeing a lot of pastors' Easter videos right now, okay? Like, come to our church kind of stuff. Which I wouldn't come. You know, like, if I saw this video, I'd be like, well, check that one off. I'm not going there. And that's me being a jerk. I get that, okay? But one of them, okay, it was like about Easter, okay? He's like, are you anxious? Are you anxious? He said, what was the other one he said? I can't read my own notes here. Anyway, the whole thing was this, like, are you tired? Are you a little depressed? And I was like, yes. You know, yeah. And then he goes, you know, that's what Easter's all about. And I'm like, no, that's not what Easter's all about. Easter's not all about your anxiety. Easter's not all about your depression. I'm not saying Jesus can't help with all that, okay? But Easter's not about that. Easter is about God sending his son to die on a cross for our sins and 3 days later be resurrected, securing our salvation. Amen. That's what Easter's about, okay? It's not about your depression. It's not about your anxiety. It's not about your loneliness. And all those are real things, and I'm not trying to say they're not, okay? But when we try to divorce Christianity from the cross of Christ, we have formed a Christless religion. And I just want you to know, okay? That's not the point of Easter. The point of Easter is not what... If the point of Easter, if someone is telling you the point of Easter and it begins with me, we got a problem, right? Like, the point of Easter is not something to do with what I've done. The point of Easter is celebrating something that God has done. God has done something. He has sent his son for us. His son has died for us. He's resurrected so that you and I, who put our hope in him, might receive salvation and eternal life forever. That's the point of Easter. So let's be careful that we don't boast in something else. We don't turn our attention to something else, boasting only in the cross of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is our only hope. That's why we do that, okay? Why Paul is saying this here, that may I boast only in the cross of Christ, to whom the world has been crucified to me and out of the world. He's saying this, listen. He's going, your only hope is Jesus. Your hope's not in, it's not in religion, it's not in circumcision, it's not in any of those things. Our only hope is Jesus. And so therefore, our only boast is Jesus, right? We need to be careful that we don't set that aside. 1 Corinthians 1 says this, and it's a long passage, but I want you to see it all. This cross, okay? The message he says of the cross is foolishness. It's folly to those who are... If people think you're an idiot for believing the good news of Jesus, okay, that's fine, okay? Because Paul says, like, this is foolishness to those who don't believe, right? This is like, what are you talking about? It's foolishness, it's folly to those who are perishing. For those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where's the one who's wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and Christ the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God did something. Not because of your wisdom, not because of your power, not because of your nobility. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. So that no, why would God do that? Why would God do all of that? So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Paul says, the reason God chose these foolish things to confound the wise, the reason God chose to bring strength out of weakness, to bring nobility out of nothing, is so that you and I, the goal here, okay? The goal in God saving us the way he has calling us to himself the way he has is so that you and I would both know the only thing good in me is Jesus. Like you should not look at my life and think there's anything good about me except what Jesus has done. And that's what Paul's saying. Like, this is why my boast is in the cross of Jesus Christ, so that you would know for a fact that if you see something good in me, it's because of what Christ is doing in me, nothing that I've accomplished on my own, right? That is his goal for them here at the end of this book. And the last point is this. All that really matters is being made new in Christ. It's all that really matters. Other things can come along after that, but it's the only thing that really, really matters. Go back and read verse 15. And again, it's talking about circumcision here. You could fill the blank in on this, though, okay? This is a type that we should see. He says, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision. What counts? What matters? A new creation. That's what matters. What matters is you and I have been made new in Christ. And look, I've told you this for 3 months now here. There are people in your life and in this world who are going to put a litmus test on you to say, well, if you were a Christian, you would blank. Or Christians would not blank. Okay? Like, and it's going to be, and so many times, that is to fulfill their own agenda, to make them feel better about themselves. Okay? What counts is not circumcision nor uncircumcision. What counts is not whatever kind of ism that someone would put on you, okay, to draw you to their side. What matters, not circumcision, uncircumcision, not this or that. What matters is a new life, new creation in Christ. That's all that matters. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. When you stand before God one day, he's not going to ask you about your politics or your cultural views or any of those kind of things. What's going to matter is, have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? That's all that matters. Listen, if you haven't done that, you're a whitewashed tomb. You're an unclean dish. You might look great on the outside. Like you, and look, y'all are going to be so cute next week, okay? Y'all are going to look great. I love seeing you. That's why we take these Easter pictures, because I like to look at them. All right? I look at these beautiful people. Some of y'all will be matching, okay? Your kids are going to have these little smocked outfits on. Some of you moms have been working on this for months. And that's great, okay? I love it. It just doesn't count for anything, right? Like, it just doesn't count for anything. And so we got to be careful. And all those are good things. Go get your Peter Millar or whatever you're going to wear, okay? Whatever your wife picks out for you, probably, if it's like your house like it is at my house. Like, ooh, can't wait to see what I'm going to wear for Easter. Jenny, what'd you get, right? As long as we realize, this is what Paul is, he leaves them with this, I'll leave you with this, okay? Is that, that's fine, as long as you understand that's not Christianity. You know what I mean? Like, that's not following Jesus. That's not, like, don't be a whitewashed tomb. Don't be an unclean dish that looks good on the outside, but on the inside, you've never really trusted Christ. You've never put your hope in Jesus. Because in the end, that's what matters. Not circumcision or uncircumcision, not morality or politics. What matters is a new creation. That's where he leaves them. So like, don't miss this, he's saying to them. Ezekiel 36 says, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Paul tells the church in Corinth, he says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Okay? Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. It's just, he is again. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God. This is God's idea, God's design, God's accomplishing. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. And again, that word reconciled is a 75-cent church word. All it means is he has brought into harmony two things that used to be at odds. Like two things that used to be against one another are now for one another, working together. All this is from God. What has God done? God has reconciled us to himself. He's made us brought back into harmony with himself. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that we should see others be reconciled to each other and ultimately to God, right? All this from God who, through Christ Jesus, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I love verse 19. That is, in Christ, okay, this is good theology right here. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Here's the news. You're guilty. You're guilty of your sin. Like, that never changes. Your guilt is there. The good news is God doesn't count it against you. Because on the cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. God's doing this. God's reconciling us to himself, not counting our trespasses against us because of Jesus, right? He has brought us into a right relationship with himself. And then he has entrusted with us this message of reconciliation. And he goes on and says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. As we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God for our sake. It's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. For our sake, not for God's sake. It's not like God was in heaven, like lonely, like, man, I wish I had something to do. Maybe I'll go save some people. No, for our sake. For our sake. God, he made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Jesus, we, you and I, might become the righteousness of God. It's what Martin Luther calls the great exchange, where he takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. It's beautiful. And so here's the call, okay, is look at your life. Are you a whitewashed tomb? Are you a unclean dish? Maybe on the outside you look the part, but you've never trusted Jesus. I mean, the invitation, it's not my invitation, it's God's invitation. The invitation is for you to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And he will do what he talks about here in Ezekiel 36. He will take out your heart of stone and put in you a heart of flesh. He will send his spirit to lead you, to guide you, and to teach you all things. If you would simply confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. That's for everyone who will do that, okay? And so if you haven't done that, I invite you to do that today. And if you have, okay, you who are Christians, I pray we can help each other boast in Christ and Christ alone. Like there's always going to be distractions, okay? There's always going to be distractions. We can help each other, though, focus our hearts and our minds on boasting only in Jesus. And man, what a great week to think about doing these things the week of Easter. Let's pray together. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people being here. And God, help us. Help us not be some kind of religious people that have missed the gospel of Jesus Christ completely. Because if that's us, we're just whitewashed tombs. We're unclean dish. And maybe we look on the outside. But you're not concerned with the outside. You're concerned with our heart. And God, I pray for my friends in this room that if they've never trusted Jesus, God, I pray today they would trust him. And God, for us that do know you, man, we take our eye off the ball sometimes. And so God, we need you to help us focus our hearts and our minds on Jesus. Because he's better than anything this world has to offer. So help us boast in him. Help us to rest in him. Help us to remember these things and help each other remember them together. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.